from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Rink Podcast, youth episode, talking some blue shirts. We're going to try to get around the NHL as well later on this episode. Maybe get a little bit of AHL talk, KHL talk, OHL talk, as far as what's going on around the world in the sport of hockey as well. In the smaller circuits, BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps. The Rangers, what an up and down week. We've got the original six matchup coming up Wednesday night, home game versus the Detroit Red Wings. And of course, we got some weekend games as well. Should be interesting how the Blue Shirts are going to come out, and definitely going to have perspective on what the Rangers have got coming up this week. Because I thought they were going into coming off this weekend pretty good, pretty well off two pretty good wins over the Tampa Bay Lightning, over the Nashville Predators. Just a laying egg at home versus the Ottawa Senators. And a game I thought was really weird in itself because the Rangers, I thought, started off the first half of the first period very, very well. They just, to me, it felt like they got into a lot of this back-and-forth petty, bickering, fighting stuff with the Senators, and I think that kind of backfired. I know sometimes the fights in the National Hockey League, they could be really inspirational. They could be a jump start to your team. But to me, it felt like the Rangers got in a little bit over the head as far as the more fights that happened. They lost concentration on the actual game at hand. They were down 2-1 at the end of one, and they really lost control in the second period. But we'll talk all that stuff, of course. The Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud on Facebook, Ranger Proud on Twitter, and, of course, writer for Elite Sports New York, RP, man. What's up with the Rangers, man? The youth effort, man. You beat the Lightning, beat the Predators, fall to the Senators. I'm at a loss of words, man. I can't figure this out, man. What's up, bro?
Hey, see, what's up? Man, that's the growing pains. That's a bunch of kids who got a little too confident and got their asses kicked, and now you got to put the pieces up again. It's what the season's going to be. You know, a couple of good games, a couple of bad games, a couple of good games, and you just hope they don't get caught in that. You know, they get caught in more of the good games than the bad games kind of situation. It was disappointing, but it really wasn't surprising. They just didn't come out with the best effort yesterday. I think they all got a little overconfident. Even when they had the 1-0 lead, they didn't look like they were playing good hockey. I mean, at one point, I think they were out shooting Ottawa 10-1. And then before you knew it, Ottawa was out shooting the Rangers 11-10 or 12-10 or something like that. You could feel how quick the tide changed on them at all. And, you know, like Quinn said, they let guys like Brady Tkachuk just get underneath their skin, and they really didn't know how to handle him or what to do with them or how to handle their emotions. And it's a learning experience, and it sucks, but it's part of the process.
I agree, man. That's exactly what I saw and kind of what I just said. I'm with you because I felt watching the game last night versus the Senators. The Rangers, to me, the first half of the first period, they looked good. But I know they got a couple of skirmishes and fights and stuff like that. But with the 1-0 lead, I thought, you know, with the Kakko goal, I thought they were off to a good start, man. I said, man, we're good, man. Because I thought the last couple of games, the effort was there. And I said, there was no reason not to believe the effort was not going to be there. But that's the key. They got under their skin. I did not see that coming. And I didn't think it was going to come from a Senators team. And I know we know what Tkachuk is, you know, as far as his family history, how feisty they could be. But that did kind of surprise me, RP, and I couldn't wait to talk to you about that today because I thought the Rangers were coming off a very good weekend, you know, as far as the the win down in Nashville, and also before that, a solid win over the Lightning. I hate to say it because we shouldn't be cocky Rangers fans, but I was thinking this was an automatic 2 points as long as we played our game. Problem is we didn't. We didn't play a complete game.
So did the Rangers. That's what the problem was. They sort of had the 2 points choked up before they stepped onto the ice, and the Ottawa Senators only had 3 wins coming into that game. And it just shows you, like we always say, on any given night, you have to play hockey 60 minutes. And you can't just have a good 11 minutes of a game and expect to get a win. And that's what happened with the Rangers. Jesper Fest said it best after the game last night. He said it's hard to know who you are when you're two different teams in a season. And he's 100% right. He goes, and another thing he said was they thought they were a team that thinks hockey is an easy game. They didn't battle hard enough. They didn't help each other out. And that's not the way to play. And Jesper Fest recognizes it, but he's the veteran on the team. The kids need to learn that lesson, and that's what last night was all about. And I'm sure they heard it from the coach, and they're going to hear from the coach more and more. And these are the growing pains of it's great to have 7 players under 21 years old, 8 players under 23 years old, but there's a lot of learning that comes with that. And, that's where they're at right now. So, you're going to have to take the good and the bad a little bit and, hope they learn from that and pick up for the next game. If they learn a lot of the lessons that they smacked them in the face last night, they're going to be a better team faster. You can't let a kid like Tkachuk get underneath you because he's really good at that. And like David Quinn said, he's a good hockey player too on top of that. And he was able to really irritate the Rangers pretty quick and for almost the whole game. And that he took the entire Ranger team at one point or another out of their game. And you want to take the opponent out of their game or vice versa. So it's just something that they're going to have to – I would think they would pick up. Gorgiev didn't have a great game. Understandably, he wasn't as sharp as he was in the Nashville and the Tampa Bay game. Kako on the other side had his first multi-point game, as we were saying last week, and you could see it if you really pay attention to him on the ice with and without the puck. The kid's just getting more and more confident. He's developing, and he's going to keep developing into a much better hockey player. He's playing really well right now. But, it's a team effort, and even though they've been playing better, Steve, they really miss Zibanejad. They miss his face-offs. They miss his leadership on or off the ice, his playmaking. And if they hold their own now until he comes back, which might be tomorrow night, might be another couple of days, they're really not saying much. They'll be all right. There's a lot going to it, but this is all part of the process.
You're right. That's a good point. Zibanejad, for the last 3 games, even though we collected 4 points, 2 on the road, 2 at home, we were arguably without our best player, and that's a good point. I mean, it's almost I forgot. I hate to say that, but we were playing so well that he was even a thought as far as his presence on the ice, because excuses, of course, had we lost at Nashville, it would have been like, damn, well, man, we didn't have Zibanejad. But I didn't even think that, RP, like, when we were playing Nashville. Like, this is, like, the point we've been saying all the time. We could bring in every night, and we said this on the episode last week. If this team plays with consistent, they had the poor line change last week versus Tampa. We talked about that. But if they play smart, as mistakeless, free hockey as possible, they could compete with any team in this league. Like any team in this league, as long as you play with your effort and you got those young skates, man, you could really do a lot of good. I just didn't think what we saw last night. That never really came to my mind as far as a team getting into the Rangers mentally. So that's something I'm definitely going to keep an eye out for the rest of this season, because you almost forget about that aspect, because the Senators made the Rangers to a bunch of guys that there really ain't really, as far as, fighting and being pesky. Yeah, you got to stand up for yourself, and I get that. And you want to play like a New Yorker, like the hashtag. But at the same time, they were really went out of their way to throw them out their game. It was less about the game itself in the second period especially. So going forward, man, I mean, I don't want to leave points on the table. We talked about this all season. Like when I see the Senators, I want 2 points. Like I can't believe we did not get the 2 points versus that team. And to your points, man, they're a team that's kind of trying to find their way. They're kind of bottomed out. And we got to come back and come back strong this week, man. We got the original six matchup versus the Detroit Red Wings, the team. We play again. We should beat them. I mean, I don't sleep on nobody, but I'm just looking at it from a perspective is if we play our game, we should be fine. Mm-hmm. And let's look at the
without
bright spot. Let's look at the bright spot because you said like Philip Hedel, for instance, coming back from Hartford. He was leading the team in points, but when he left, mm-hmm. What's your thoughts as far as Philip Hedel, man? As far as his impact,
he's
fantastic in the Nashville game. What's your thoughts?
He's playing really good hockey. He's playing like a kid that doesn't want to get sent back down to Hartford. He's scoring some points. He's playing well without the puck. He's winning his draws. Again, another player or another situation will be interesting when Zibanejad comes back and they have five centers because the way things look now and from what David Quinn said, as long as Hedel plays to his potential, he won't be sent down. So right now he's playing, and you don't know who the top line is, so it's hard to say he's playing with the top line. Wherever he's centering, he's been getting some good minutes. He looks much more comfortable on the ice. He knows what he wants to do with the puck, which I think is the biggest difference I've seen from last year. He doesn't seem a little nervous or confused. I love his drive to the net. He's been making some good moves, showing a lot of speed, so... I mean, people might say, oh, I can't believe he got, he should not have been sent down to Hartford. I think those 9-10 games down at Hartford really challenged him, and he was able to learn a lot from that. He knew what the Rangers were looking for, and he developed into a different player. And, yeah, it wasn't a lot of games, but you can absolutely see the difference from the two games he's been up with the team now, or three games, I should say, till when in training camp. When he was up, there is a difference in his whole style. So I think he's played lights out better than anyone anticipated. He's comfortable with the team. The team's leaning on him a little bit already. Kreider had some really good things to say about him and so forth. So I think he's definitely going to be here for the season if something, Steve, unforeseen happens. And they need him. They need, especially now that Kravtsov went to Russia, they absolutely need him to come up and they need him to score.
Mhm. Right on. Just need that energy. We need everything we can get, man. I mean, there's nothing that can't not be slept on. Bright spot as far as the range. I mean, there's other things too, like Ryan Strome's point streak, man. What about him? The guy who's actually picked it up a little bit as well. Somebody we said we need other contributions from these other lines, and Ryan Strome from the last week or so has been pretty good. What about other guys that, as far as production wise, that you, what Ranger Proud or at least Sports New York are feeling?
Well, I think Brett Howden's starting to play a lot better. He's getting some more minutes. He seems more aggressive the last couple of games. I really like the way his game's improved. And like I said, Strome's just playing really well. I think he has 10 or 11 points on the season already. I think he has 3 goals and 8 assists in his last 5 or 6 games, something like that. He absolutely picked up from where he was last year. He had a little bit of a slow start, but he seems to definitely have come into his own, and he's playing very well. Brendan Lemieux has always been nice and feisty. I'd like to see some more scoring out of him, a little bit less fighting. I think it was great to see him battle Tkachuk last night and all, but I think it took him out of the game that the Rangers needed him to play. And that's, again, a young guy. He's going to have to learn that. He's going to have to understand what his role on the team is. It's good to be the aggressive, and it's good to be that guy that protects the other players, but he also has a lot of skill that the Rangers are looking for, and you can't execute that skill when you're sitting in a penalty box. I think Hayek had a tough game last night. It definitely wasn't one of his better contests. Excuse me. I don't know if that's going to result in him sitting out tomorrow night. I'm almost positive you're going to see Mark Stahl back in our lineup tomorrow. But like we said, who will be that defenseman to sit is the big question. Kreider is still struggling to finish. He's playing better. He seems to be more engaged in the play, but he's still not finding that scoring touch that he had last season. He seems to be squeezing a stick a lot more up until this point, and they really need him to find that scoring touch. And I think once he gets going, you're going to see the scoreboard get lit up a little bit, and you're going to see a lot better hockey coming out of him and Buchnevich. Not that they're playing bad, but we're looking for that, for those veteran kind of guys to start leading the way scoring, and it just hasn't happened yet. You know, on the blue line, I like Truba. I think he's having a great season. He's been wearing the A a couple of nights now, which just showed you the faith and that the coaching staff has in him. Brady Shea is like Jekyll and Hyde. He still hasn't exploded out the way I'm waiting for. And you know something? Maybe he just won't. I know he has so much skill and talent, but he just doesn't seem to ever be able to put it all together in one game. And I'm still waiting for him to say, oh, that's the Brady Shea that you're looking for. That's, you know, the guy looking at the skate up with the speed and he's so smart on the ice. He just, for whatever reason, gets caught, like, thinking too much instead of playing. I think the kids on the blue line have done really well. You know, even Ohio struggled, like I said earlier. Fox is really impressed. I mean, you and I hadn't seen him play at all at Harvard and all that, and we were wondering what all the hype was. But that guy has settled in, a real solid defenseman. He makes some passes, like, already at his early part of his career, you're like, wow, he's doing that now. How great he's going to be 2 years into his career. He looks really solid, really comfortable, doesn't look nervous with the puck. He makes really strong passes. You know, it doesn't have to be that long stretch pass. He makes smart, solid passes. When he gets rid of the puck, he begins the play going to the offensive side, and he always hits that pass coming out of his end. So I've been really impressed with that. I think Lindgren's really impressed everybody. He's definitely earned the opportunity to stay up with the Rangers. You know, it's unusual when you have three rookie blue liners, and that's what the Rangers have right now. And I don't see them changing it. You know, I think they'll use Stahl as a seventh defenseman, and when a guy like maybe Hayek last game struggled or someone needs a rest, they'll rotate with them in and out. But I think that the seventh defenseman, and we're not considering Brendan Smith a defenseman anymore, I think the seven defensemen they have right now are probably going to be up for the season unless a trade or something up on season to pop up. And, I mean, that's good. If you're going to develop all these kids, Steve, do it all at one time. Do it all at one time, and this way it'll get better together. That's why I'm glad you got Lee Stanislav up, who I didn't mention much because for whatever reason, there's definitely an issue with Anderson and the coaching staff because he just can't get off the fourth line center. And it's not like he's playing great and the other players are playing bad, but when you're struggling like in a game against Ottawa and you're looking for offense, they move Kako up to the line with Panarin. Well, why not move Anderson up and just see a spark? It's not so much saying Howden's playing bad or Strom's playing bad or even Yiddo's playing bad, but maybe you're saying, I need to spark the team. Sometimes a coach changes a goalie to spark a team. Sometimes you got to move a guy up from the fourth line and see if he could spark the team a little bit. Everyone knows he's got the skill and the scoring prowess, but for whatever reason, it's just not happening. And there's no answer, there's no rhyme, there's nothing to it that's been said. So I guess you're just going to have that's going to be the one sore spot for a while. It just doesn't seem to happen.
Will you have an update on the lines for the game versus the Red Wings?
No, I don't believe the Rangers practiced today, so there was no reports on.
Okay.
I would think the lineup would be the same. Would be the same, other than possibly Cockrell going to Panarin's line, because that is how the third period ended. I think the last two shifts or three shifts, Cockrell was up with Panarin. I don't know if he's going to take Stahl out of the lineup, put Stahl back in the lineup. If I had a guess, I would say Stahl goes in and Hayek comes out. But these are all just guesses based on how the games are played and based on when David Quinn said before the last game he didn't anticipate sitting Stoll out three games in a row, but the Rangers were winning, and he didn't want to change the lineup. But he definitely needs him and wants him to get back in. If you're going to put him back in, you're going to put him back in tomorrow night. They don't put Stoll back in tomorrow night, then there's something else going on that hasn't been reported. I mean, the team lost. They lost to an Ottawa team they should have beaten. Hájek definitely had his struggles. And it's not so much a punishment. Just sometimes you got to take a guy out and say, watch a little bit, especially, you know, a young rookie and all. So I would think he would go in. We already know Lundqvist is starting because that was announced before the Ottawa game. So lineup-wise, I'm just looking through. I don't believe the Rangers had a practice today. It looks like they didn't because I didn't get any notes off it. I would just think it would be that. I think the Rangers are having a morning skate, but it's probably going to be optional. It looks like David Quinn went back to that. He had got rid of it.
Oh.
And I think, if I'm correct, with the Tampa Bay and the Nashville game, he went to morning skates, but they're optional. So yesterday, only six Rangers skated, but that's how everybody knew Zibanejad wasn't playing because he wasn't one of the six to begin with. So we'll have to see what happens tomorrow morning. But I haven't heard anything or seen anything with lines yet. I'll probably know more in the morning on that.
Yeah, because it was going back to the point of something I've been saying for weeks as far as Lee Anderson moving up in the lineup, because until, you know, that theory or my point on that is still in the holding pattern. So it's a wait and see if Quinn is even going to do that. You never know if he is or if he isn't. You brought up the other points as far as Mark Stoll. We'll have to see as far as then whoever sits and go from there. I hate to say it, but I mean outside of the Ottawa game, he could play. I mean, I can see it both ways. I mean, he could play as far as getting back into the lineup. You don't want to have him just rotting on the bench for like the last 4 days. But
right,
overall, outside of the Ottawa game, the team played well. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be doing a musical chairs with the skates, getting guys in and out of the lineup, or they're going to go with the hot skates who kind of, you know, played well versus some powerhouse, you know, power offenses. I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. They played very well the last two out of three, and that's kind of what it was the previous week. They got 4 points out of six versus those Atlanta teams, and then you add in the outside of the terrible loss. It was kind of a Vlad Nemestikov revenge at the Garden takeover game. And, you know, we'll talk about that with former Rangers getting involved in that game. Duclair, Vlad. I don't know how they get. There's something about letting him play. Maybe it's a smaller market. Maybe the bright lights was too big for him at the Garden. I don't know. But, They just had a hard time containing with him, especially in that second and third periods. And then it must have had him feel real good. They already were up big, and then he had the ultimate insurance goal with the power play goal to really cap it off. Well, what is he at right now for the season? I'm talking about Vlad Nemestikov. He's at four or five goals right now? I lost track.
I think it was five goals.
Five.
I thought they said last night. It was let me see if I can find it for you quick.
He's about five. That sounds about right.
Yeah, it was something in that neighborhood. They said he was playing on their top line, on their power play line. He was a totally different responsibility with Ottawa as opposed to the Rangers. Yeah, he has 5 goals, 4 assists, and 13 games.
Okay. Wow.
and minus three, but in that team, that's good. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't – 9 points in 13 games, it's just a different role for him on that team. There's not the pressure. The problem is with the Rangers is, you know, the Rangers got him for Miller and McDonough, and he had the weight of that. He was supposed to come over and be the goal scorer, and it just didn't happen. And I don't think he was able to live up to that. Expectations and the New York fans and the New York media base. So, you know, it was definitely a good move for him to get traded and head over to there. And he looked good last night. And, you know, the Rangers are playing another ex-Ranger tomorrow night because this afternoon, the Detroit Red Wings called up Dylan McElrath for defense.
Right.
So it seems like whenever we play someone, it's always got a former Ranger on there who's you know, he's got,
right.
Just got him really twisted for the Rangers right now, and it's just, you know, it's just how it is. But Detroit's another one of those that when you look on paper and the way they're playing, you think it should be a competitive game and the Rangers should be able to come out with a win. But the Rangers have a lot of work to do. I don't think on any night, no matter how it looks, the Rangers are going to have to learn they got to play 60 minutes of hockey. And it's sort of the problem they had after the first two games of the season when they went on that really bad stretch. They were playing inconsistent. They need to get out of that. They can't. They have to try to prevent a 2- and 3-game losing streak. I think that's real important. You lose a game, now let's bounce back. And if you lose another game, let's bounce back. Let's not lose 1, 3, 5 games before you bounce back, because it's just too many points to give up. You're chasing a lot now. Already the division's starting to run away. Washington's playing really well. The Islanders won their 10th in a row tonight. You can't give up. You can't go on a 4- or 5-game losing streak. It's 10 points in the standings that you can't get back. And if you want a shot at the wild card, which I really don't think they're going to make, but if you want to be at least in the conversation of a wild card spot, then you got to prevent these 3-4 games or falling into quicksand, as I call it, when you just can't get out of it. There's no time for that, even this early in the season, because the Rangers are so young, it's going to take them a little bit more time to learn how to pick themselves back up. You know, you hear the right words. It's funny when they interview the Rangers after a game, Steve, and they interview a Jesper Fast, and they interview a Chris Kreider, who last night said the team just wasn't ready to battle. These are the veteran players who are responsible and who are trying to pick up the younger guys and show them the way. But the younger guys just don't know. You know, it's like a bunch of teenagers to a point. You're going to learn how much you can drink in a night without getting yourself in trouble only by getting yourself in trouble.
Well,
it's where they are. It's where they are right now. You know, it's just where – and it has to be expected. You know, some fans just think, oh, you can't lose to Ottawa. You can't lose – it doesn't matter who they play. You're going to have these down games. I mean, if it makes everyone feel better that you get blown out by Pittsburgh and not to Ottawa, the learning experience is what it's all about. Let's see what the Rangers learn tomorrow night when they play. Let's see what they learn from losing to Ottawa the way they did. I mean, they lost to Ottawa last night, and Ottawa lost tonight to the Islanders 4-1. Granted, the Islanders are playing really well, but the Islanders are making sure that they beat the teams they're supposed to beat, because they're at a different level than the Rangers are right now. And I'm not knocking anyone. I'm just showing the difference. The Ranger players are going to have to learn from the mistakes that they're making to get better.
But you're right, but it's not just the players. We also, as you already know, they have a Stanley Cup winning head coach as well. And we have a second-year head coach fresh out of college. So, I mean,
there's a big learning curve
for both players and coaches.
For all of them, granted. Yeah. Granted,
right.
You're right.
Right.
You're 100% right.
Hell,
and,
we can even take it to another level. Their president, executives are Stanley Cup winning executives. You know, I mean, he's been around the block. We know
experience.
That, but
sure,
all experience, man.
It's
every level.
It's all every level. It's all experience, and it's definitely look. If you look at the Rangers as a whole, I mean, at least to myself, I'm like, wow, in another year or two, these guys are going to be, if everything stays the way it is, these guys are going to be really, really good. You just look at what they have, and age-wise and skill-wise, these guys are going to be really good in another year or two. But, you know, let's be realistic, too. Sometimes the fans don't want to give it that amount of time. But that's where we're at right now. They've gone so much with the rebuild and the letter and trading all the familiar faces. to get to where they are right now, but you got to stay the course. Fans can't start to get to that level.
I get the frustration.
It happened because of the Panarin deal.
That's built into it. I think a lot of it, why the New York fan, it could be regardless of the sport, is because I think a lot of it because the New York fan is highly passionate about their sports, like any team along from between Boston and D.C. I think when you're talking about, you know, you can go to the Midwest, Chicago, play Detroit to a degree, but like anything between Boston and D.C., but New York and Philadelphia right in the middle, they are beyond passionate in this country about their sports, their pro sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the New York fan in particular, especially the Knicks, the Rangers, those teams like that, their tickets are significantly higher than teams in the league, in the rest of the league. So I can understand, you know, a Ranger fan like you who go to the Garden, myself who goes to the Garden, or other guys who got season tickets and they're playing, I mean, probably 2.5, maybe up to 3 times more than the average NHL fan around the league. They want to see quick turnaround because why am I paying all this money if it's not – a winning product right away. See, I can understand that aspect, the frustration for that type of thing, to be fair, you know? I mean, we're going to pay hundreds. If, you know, like you said it before on the podcast a couple of years ago. You said if a family of four is how much to go to the Garden, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's
I want to see results. I want to see results. I get that. So I can see the frustration, yo, if I'm going to pay this, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars to go to a game, bring friends or whatever, I want to see something now. I can understand that rationale to a degree. That's kind of fair in a sense from the fan paying that money. But as far as realistically, as far as organically building it from the ground up, we do have to be patient. There's a give and take as far as that.
True.
Other Rangers, I know Panero had the power play goal. He's been fine. He's had his chances. But I look at Tony DeAngelo in particular, RP. I mean, his production, you know, he got the goals last week, and he's getting the points. He's assisting on plays. He's really progressed very well. He's played well with Shea a lot on the defensive pair, man. I'm really, really liking his game. And Kako's starting to get it going, like you said earlier. And I think it was really about to come. He got him more. He thrives when he's operating in space. Kind of, you know, like you said before, as far as playing in a different rink size, he needs to be out there in space where away from defenders so he can do what he does best and get to the net. And you've seen that a lot in a couple of games. You've seen that out of the Hito in a couple of games. I just think going to the Detroit game, if there is anything they did learn, is to not be mentally rattled. And I think they could learn from that. And that's something that you could just be coached up. We're not going to let these guys get in our head. Because they were actually, to me, winning mentally and physically until Ottawa got into them mentally and they threw them off their game and they carried over to the end of the first and it really got out of hand in the second period. I think they could learn from that. I think they could make strides to be a better hockey club the rest of this week. I mean, starting with Detroit. Now, if they falter and they don't skate hard, that could be bothersome. But they don't give me a reason not to think that. It's just I think mentally, they just have to play a lot better than what they saw Monday night. It really comes down to that, and that goes back to the goalie too, because the goalie was playing well too. Gorkyov was phenomenal, man.
We'll
see how they do, man. But
I
was the point I was going to
play
about Brady Shea too. The penalty he had.
Well, they took a lot of bad penalties yesterday. Yesterday was not.
Yeah.
Yesterday was not the game to show what you should do. They took a lot of they were bad penalties, the tripping and the holding and the hooking, they just bad penalties, and then they would give a power play goal and at you know the most inopportune time. It was just a bad overall game, you know. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's those little things add up to the result that they had. So I would think now going to tomorrow's game, you're going to see, you know, Kako playing better. You're going to see Hedo continue to play the way he was. But maybe, you know, you get Stoll back in the lineup. Lundqvist is going to back in the lineup. They're going to both be hungry. And I think that's better for the Rangers. You know, it just might all work out the way Quinn wants it to work out. I mean, you know, no one wants to sit. I mean, it's the first time Stoll sat in his entire career as a healthy scratch. In 13 years, I think it was, he never was a healthy scratch for the Rangers. He's missed plenty of games, the eye injury and concussions and things like that. But he was never sitting in the press box, not injured, watching the game. And I don't think he wants to do that again. So he's going to come out flying. On the Lundqvist side, he's supposed to be sitting the games out. And even Quinn said it. There's going to be a stretch when Hank plays 3, 4, 5 games in a row. And this is all part of the game plan to keep him in that 60 range, I guess you can say, of games played. 60, 57, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, and Gorgiev has been playing well enough that you would think it's going to work out. Even, you know, he's going to, the problem with the backup, and this is any backup, Steve, is since they're playing so few games, the impression is you have to win every one of those games. But the reality is you're not. No goalie's going to play only 20 games and go 20-0. It's not going to happen. So I think the pressure is on him to achieve something that may not be possible. I think the Rangers are just going to have to play their game and get, obviously, Gorgiev needs to have a winning record. And then you just got to see what you can get out of him. And then what Hank does in the games that he's playing. You know, Gorgiev played 2 really good hockey games. And let's not start with the, oh, Hank is done stuff. Is Hank and Stoll on the end of their careers? Absolutely. Is there sort of a passing of the torch going on? Definitely. But they're still both very much part of the hockey teams. But like anyone else, I mean, look at Eli Manning. It's going to happen. Whether it happens as quick as Eli Manning getting benched the way he was and that was it, or slowly Lundqvist isn't the number one goalie anymore. Lundqvist is going from playing 65 games to splitting the season with a goalie. That's how it's going to break down. A little bit different in hockey because there's so many games.
Right.
Same thing with Stoll. Stoll played in 79 games last season. I don't know if he's going to play in 69 games this season. You just don't know until you see what's going on game by game. But they're both still huge parts of the team.
Indeed, indeed. Now, what about the other games this week? We have back-to-back game down in Raleigh, North Carolina, Thursday night. So it's back-to-back after the Red Wings game. We know the Hurricanes have played well. They skated well. And then you got the game versus the Panthers back at home on Sunday afternoon, which is, I hate that fact that it's the same time as Giants-Jets. But story for another day. We won't get into that right now. But they could at least push the 7. But how you looking at it versus the Hurricanes versus the Panthers, man? How you figure the matchup? I mean, it's hard to say because we're looking at it one game at a time. I'm not trying to overlook the Red Wings.
Oh, the hardest thing to say is what is based on everything we've said. I'm assuming Gorgiev and Lundqvist, regardless, are going to split these two games.
Absolutely.
You would think. I would think the way they would do it is Hank tomorrow, Gorgiev, and then Hank in Florida.
I agree.
Against Florida.
I agree with that.
But then again, you never know, especially with the day off in between. If Gorgiev has another great game with Carolina, he might start him in Florida. Because regardless of what they're saying, they're trying to get Gorgiev as much hockey as they can, I believe, in the first half of the season. And this way, hopefully, Hank is rested and he's strong to go in the second half if they make some sort of wild card or playoff push or anything like that. So I don't quite know with that. Player-wise, I would think Quinn's going to go. I don't want him to be changing lines left and right the way he has been. I like him to go with, if he's going to put Kako on the top line, then give him these 2 or 3 games and see where they're at. Because he's playing really well. Really well right now. Panarin always plays well. So there's a lot of potential to keep the lines, you know, tweak them a little bit, but keep them where they are. The The problem with Quinn, especially with, I've noticed with back-to-back games, 3 and 4 night, you know, 3 games and 5 nights, things like that, is it tends when to get impatient. And you can't do that right now. If you're going to show the team that you're looking for growth and development, well, then as a coach, you have to show them that you're willing to allow them to have the growth and development and that chemistry that hasn't been there. So it'll be interesting to see what they do these upcoming games, especially with the back-to-back. The Devils are – not the Devils, excuse me. The Red Wings aren't playing great hockey. They're in similar situation as Ottawa and the Rangers are. Carolina is going to be a real battle. Florida is going to be a real battle. So 3 games, you love to get 4 out of the 6 points again, but it's going to be a real tough task.
Oh, yeah, these are tough ones, man, because yeah. We talked about Carolina and Florida in the offseason as far as when we looked at the entire NHL, because these are teams that obviously we're going to be playing against. Carolina, guys like Dougie Hamilton has played well this year. I didn't see a lot of Carolina Hurricane games this year, but I did see a couple.
No.
One game that comes to mind when they were in D.C. versus the Capitals. And I thought they had an impressive win in D.C. earlier this year. Ryan Zangle, Jacob Slavin, these guys defensively, they definitely bring the firepower offensively as well. Then you got to bring Andre Shenetsikov, Teravanian, and what's his name? Sebastian Aho. Aho, he's kind of been all right. I thought he would have been. I haven't seen a lot of dominance out of him like I thought I would this year. But the Rangers are going to have to back-to-back nights. And this is where the assistant coaches and preparation come in, because obviously Quinn's the head man. He's got to focus at the task at hand. But you got to have a staff to really do the scouting on who's going to be what the very next night. You got to go down to North Carolina and play it against a very good Carolina Hurricanes team. Niederreiter is he's had a decent season. I mean, these guys got a lot of balance. As far as Florida, I've been trying to watch more Florida games this year, RP, because we talked about it with Joel Quenneville, and I thought a couple of games I did see, they played well. It's kind of almost like, damn, well, everybody's beating the Lightning. How much does the Lightning win actually does mean for the Rangers? But they had a good win versus the Lightning the second game of the year, the second time they played them. But that, to me, it's no surprise, because I know Joel Quenneville could get that out of Jonathan Huberdeau, who's having an excellent season, or Alexander Barkov. I mean, it's the same guys that we already familiar with, but it's just they're getting good offensive production. And then, of course, the big goalie signing they had in the offseason, so we got to deal with that Sunday afternoon. But it's a game-by-game basis. Let's go around the NHL, RP, because you mentioned the Islanders' sick win streak, and I know that's got to make you sick to your stomach that the Islanders are on fire right now, man. And like you said, they did have the 4-1 win. Even though Pagot has been on fire for the Senators, they're on all cylinders, man. They're beating very good teams on the streak, man.
Yeah, they're playing. Yeah, you got to take your hat off. The Islanders are playing really solid hockey right now. So, you know, like you said, they got that coach on top that knows. You know, they came out a little bit of adversity in the beginning. They weren't hitting on all cylinders, and he's cool, calm, and collective on that bench. I've always been a big Barry Trotz fan when he was with Nashville, when he was with the Caps, and he definitely knows what he's doing back there. He knows how to keep his team sharp and loose, and he knows how to push the right button. So, you know, give them credit. They got their game rolling right now. The Capitals seem to be playing some really good hockey. It's funny.
Always.
The Metro, they just don't slow down. Backstrom and Ovechkin, it's nonstop. Those guys just know how to win. They know how to score. They know how to feed off each other. They know how to lead their team. That there's so many positives. There's not that many bad things you can say about it at all. But when you look at the division itself right now, all of a sudden it's starting to eat. They're starting to run away with it. The Capitals have 11 wins. Now the Islanders have 11 wins. And Carolina's got 9 wins. So that's 25 points, 22 for the Islanders, 19 for Carolina. The Penguins got 17. Philadelphia's got 16. And then you got Columbus, the Rangers, and the Devils, 13, 11, and 10. So there's a huge gap right now from where the Rangers are at 11 points and the Capitals at 25. Granted, it's only 16 games in a season, but you can't let these guys run away with it so quickly. The Rangers, and for that matter, the Devils. Columbus, we knew, was going to struggle, but I think it's safe to say everyone thought the Rangers and Devils would be playing better than Columbus and maybe Philadelphia. And AV's got the Flyers playing pretty well. I mean, they're 7-5. They got 16 points.
I told
points.
You they would. I told you AV was going to have these guys ready,
The Penguins, are an up-and-down team at 8-6. They're battling a lot of injuries and all. They're just trying to keep their their head above water. But for the Rangers, for the Devils, even and for Columbus, if you want any shot at even looking at a wild card, you got to catch up to Washington Islanders and Carolina. So it makes that Carolina game on Thursday night kind of a big game for the Rangers. The Rangers should lose tomorrow night, and then Carolina wins, and now that's a 10-point lead they have over the Rangers. So there's a lot going on. It's very early in the season. But as I always say, you can't win the Stanley Cup, but you can sure as hell lose it right now. So the Rangers are going to have to start stepping their game up and start, scoring, keep scoring goals. They got to keep playing good hockey because Zibanejad comes back. And then he's going to need a couple of games to get back in a rhythm again because sitting out all this time is just killing his timing. He came out flying, and then we had that horrible schedule break. Then you could tell he was fighting it a little bit. Scoring some assists and all, but he wasn't like he was the first two games. And then he gets injured. So it's going to – there's a timing issue that's involved with that too. So the Rangers got to not fall into these losing streaks. They really need to find a way to beat the Red Wings tomorrow night and then take it from them. And Detroit, it's 4-11. Their goal differential is a minus 29 already in 16 games.
You talk about
Ottawa. It's funny when you look at Ottawa's record and numbers, and you look at Detroit. It's almost the same team. So I mean, it's sad to say, but Ottawa's only road win was against the Rangers last night. They're 1-5-1, and Detroit's 2-6 on the road. They're not scoring a lot of goals. They've only scored 34 goals in 16 games. They're barely scoring two and change a game. The Rangers have to find a way to come out flying tomorrow night, get Detroit in a hole early, and then see what happens from there.
Yeah, we're out of time. I wanted to tonight get into. I should have put more time on this, but I really wanted because this season I really want to focus. Because I've been watching a little bit of AHL. They got the streams going on. I've been keeping up with the Pack, and as you already know, the Pack are doing very, very well in the Atlantic and the AHL. Even some of the OHL and KHL, as far as prospects, future prospects in the draft for next year and who may come out, and some guys who've been doing well, guys we've already identified in previous seasons in both circuits in Canada and Russia. But I'll get into that more and let you know on what I've been checking out on both of those circuits along with the AHL and our team. One more thing before we go, and I'll get some final thoughts from you. As far as the West, Edmonton, this is the Edmonton I think we've been asking for the last couple of years, and they've been kind of lackadaisical for the best words we could say. But what's really surprising me, I know they won tonight, the Golden Knights, but they've been struggling. Them and who's the other team? Dallas. Dallas is starting to turn around. I call them my dark horse, but teams in the West, I thought I would expect a lot more out of starting to pick it up. But anyway, we'll get into all that more. I want to get into a lot of that next week, next Tuesday night with you. Final thoughts from you, RP, as far as the Rangers.
And last night's game is a mirror of what this season's going to look like. Couple of good games, couple of bad games. So just got to ride it out a little bit. Don't anticipate or look for more than there is. This team, don't want to say is rebuilding, but is learning. And that takes time. It's going to take time. It's going to take patience. So you know, enjoy the kids, enjoy the hockey because it is fun to watch. But don't be over confident, don't be overzealous of how bad players are, because there's going to be a lot of up and downs here. But the light at the end of the tunnel is going to be really, really bright, and there's a bright future ahead.
Ranger Proud, Ranger Proud on Facebook. Ranger Proud page is fire. Ranger Proud page is the best. It's probably the best Ranger page in the base, man. It's just fun dialogue. You put up the post and the fans react. It's lovely, man. And Ranger Proud on Twitter, of course. Writer for Elite Sports New York, man, as well. We got the three games. We got three games to discuss. And then, of course, next Tuesday, we will be back to talk more Blue Shirts hockey. And also getting into all maybe some little stuff from the pack, from the Wolf Pack as well. This episode is on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher app, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. RP, one more thing. I know we were talking about other games tonight. If you haven't seen the Habs game, the Habs and Bruins game, that was an excellent game tonight, man.
That was a good game. Nice. I just watched it, yeah.
Oh, did you? Of course you did. No doubt, man. That was a good game before it came on.
A lot of goals between Tukarask and Carey Price, and that was the final 5-4, I think it was. So that was then. I just watched the Devils knock off Winnipeg in a shootout. Yeah, some good hockey.
Did they? Oh wow. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, they just won.
Wow. Oh wow. Oh wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Catch
okay.
Up.
We definitely got to catch up on that, man. All right, man. Talking sports, man. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.